Now, Father, we can't help but say thank you for your great grace. And thank you for how I even think of Jesus, who came into this world full of grace and truth. And though the law came through Moses, we know that grace and truth were realized through Jesus. We live in this most amazing time after the wonderful expression of your love for us. After grace has come in, we live in this period of time where we experience your grace. There's judgment to come, but thank you for this great day of grace when anyone can be saved through faith in Jesus. And Father, we know that it was a great cost to yourself. We thank you for this morning thus far. Thank you, Lord, for the special things that we could look at and the songs we could sing. And we thank you now for your word. And as we come and consider your word, we are so glad that you have written down through 40 different human authors your great, inspired and eternal word. We know that this word will never perish. We know that everything we read here is amen. And we ask that you'd help us to be good students of it in our own quiet times, in our own private lives. But also as we come together now, we ask that you'd help us to hear it well and to respond as we should. And we ask for the help of your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, quite a few of you will know that we were blessed to have three daughters, and two of our daughters ended up becoming quite good at sport, especially in cycling. And this morning I just want to share with you about our youngest daughter, Heidi. I told her yesterday that I'd be talking about her, but that's okay. I mentioned Amy, I think, a few weeks ago. And in 2003, Heidi was privileged to represent WA and go to the Australian National Road Cycling Championships in Mooloolaba, Queensland. And she was racing in the under-15 events. And she had several races to participate in. But the one I'm going to share with you this morning, and some of you have heard this story, is in regard to the road race. So Mooloolaba's hilly, and there was like, I think, about a 100-kilometre road race for an under-15, going up hills and all that sort of thing. So we couldn't be there, but Heidi gave me the report of what happened. So she started her race, and she started really well. She was in the lead pack and doing quite well, just out there in the front with the rest of the main riders. Then she came to the very long, high section. And she's very gifted in hill climbing, and she chose at that moment to break away from the peloton, to break away from the group. And so she powered up the hill, and she was well ahead, but that's only halfway through the race. And so then for the rest of the race, she had to really push it and do her best, because the peloton has strength. They're helping each other, and they were gaining upon her. And she remembers looking back and seeing where they were, and then she could see them coming, and the finish line was ahead, and they were really gaining on her. And she just said, I had to dig really deep, Dad, and I just threw everything at it. And I just kept going as hard as I could. My legs were killing me. And you see this photo of Heidi coming across the finish line, and she's in first place by a wheel only, and there's complete determination and exhaustion together. And I never forget that photo. I can't find it now. I would have shown it you up on here. But when I look at that, I can't help but see all that effort that she put into it. And then this morning, as we consider God's word, I want you to realize that we're in a race. If you're born of God, if you trust and love the Lord Jesus, you're in a race that requires determination, that will even exhaust you at times. And the race we're in is so much better than winning a gold medal. The race we're in is about going to glory. And I want you to see this morning, as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to be looking at one of my favourite sections of the Bible, Hebrews 12, 1-3, we're going to see the importance of being determined, having endurance, hanging in there, no matter what. That's how it is to be. As we look at this section, I'm going to be picking up on four key things in Hebrews chapter 12, 1-3. We need encouragement. We need to eradicate things out of our life that weigh us down. We need endurance, and we need eyes fixed on Jesus. They're the four things that we're going to be looking at this morning. And this section is very practical. There's quite a few let-uses. We've already come across a few let-uses before in Hebrews chapter 10. We've got another three in this passage as well. So let's begin by looking at the first one, and the first one is about encouragement. In the Christian race, it is a marathon, is it not? It's not a sprint. We're in a marathon, and we need to have encouragement. We need encouragement. Encouragement to help us keep on keeping on. Encouragement so that we don't throw in the towel when things get tough. We have already seen the importance of encouragement in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do you remember those words? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, those great words. Let me just turn to it first. I'm in Mark's Gospel for some reason. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "And let us not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's a very strong reference to encouraging, to giving each other help and strength to keep on persevering, to keep on keeping on. And I ask the Lord that we would do this better and better, really and truly, that we would learn to do this better and better, especially in the days we live, that we would be great encouragers of each other. We need it. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we also see this as well. The word encouragement isn't there, but the beginning of verse 1 is about encouragement. It starts off saying, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us." And what the Hebrew writer is trying to tell us is that we have all these people who have gone before us, champions of the faith, and do you realise what they are to you? They are a source of great encouragement. If they could speak from heaven, they'd be going, "It's worth it. Keep on keeping on. It's so worth it." And Hebrews 11 is full of these people from the Old Testament who had faith in God, who persevered, who endured, and they're a source of encouragement to us. Do you realise that? It's great reading the Bible. And actually, even in through the Old Testament, to see there's some bad examples, but there's lots of good examples of people who persevered, people who encourage us and inspire us also to keep on keeping on. You know, I love a verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's verse 6, and it says, "He who believes in Christ will never be disappointed." That's an encouraging verse, and that's what all these people in Hebrews 11 are saying to us as well. And of course, the story has gone on. Hebrews 11 is dominated by people of the Old Testament. But in the church age, we have so many wonderful testimonies. Even listening to Neil next week, we have so many wonderful testimonies written down. We might hear about it, of people who have endured and persevered, and they're such a great encouragement to us. Thinking back to the ones that we've come across in Hebrews 11, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob are all mentioned, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, David, Daniel, all these people come to mind who by faith in God were able to endure and run that race that was set before us. What an encouragement they are to us. And I just want to say how one of the great sources of encouragement is reading God's Word. You've got to read God's Word well. I know when you read God's Word, you're going to see the character and glory of God. You're going to see wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus, even in the Old Testament. But the other great thing about the Bible is that it is going to be encouraging you. It's going to help you grow in faith as you read about men and women of old who loved God, who loved Jesus, who loved His Word. I would encourage you to read God's Word daily, that you might be encouraged by the Scriptures. And I would encourage you, my second best thing to read would be biographies of Christians. To read biographies, testimonies of those who have gone before us, or maybe they're still alive. And that also is a great source of encouragement as well. So we need encouragement, don't we? Read the Word, but also encourage one another. You know, just thinking of that cloud of witnesses. Everyone goes on about iCloud today, you know, iCloud. You know, some mysterious thing where all the electronic stuff is stored. We ought to be going about the cloud. The cloud of witnesses. What a great cloud they are. Friends, I don't believe they can see us here on earth because I reckon they'd be crying. But they are a cloud of heavenly witnesses who say to us so clearly, it is worth it. Be encouraged. Keep on keeping on. The next thing we're going to look at is the word eradication. And that's in the next part of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, it says, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Or in the version that I learnt it, the NIV, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So here we have some very important words about throwing off or eradicating from us hindrances or weights as well as sinful habits. Now, you ought to know, and I know this for my daughter when she was cycling, obviously when she cycled, we bought for her the best bike we could buy with a light frame bike. You don't ride a heavy bike, do you? And I'm sure that when Heidi raced, she did not have a backpack on her or heavy clothing or anything like that. She had the streamlined helmet and she was riding light. And we know marathon runners do the same, don't they? I've never seen a marathon runner wearing, you know, like a suit or big backpack on or flippers on their feet or something stupid like that. They are running the best they can light. You know, even though we can smile about that, it's crazy. Us Christians are in a race, and we are heavily loaded. We are burdened down running a race. No wonder we get tired, no wonder we stumble and fall, because we are weighed down. And we've got to learn to eradicate from our life everything that hinders us, that slows us down, that trips us up, that stops us running. So what things am I thinking of? I can't help but think of the good things first. There are so many good things. It's good to have a job, but then a job can consume us and it hinders us from running. It's good to have a nest egg, but then the worry of keeping that nest egg consumes us and it messes us up as well. And there's so many good things that can just get us out of the race. Like maybe you're into sport and fitness and going to the gym. And the problem is that it's all consuming and we have no time to nurture our soul, to have our quiet time. And so as a result, we don't run very well. There are many good things that we can do. You know, you can even play computer games. That's okay. Age of Empires, you can play that. I had a good chat with Isaac about this. But the problem is it's all consuming. I taught him this very most important thing that my wife taught me. Pray before you play. Well, that just kills it, doesn't it? Alright. But you've got to get rid of things in your life that are just taken over. At the end of the day, we need to be able to live out the Christian life with Christ and His kingdom being top priority. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these other things will be added to you as well. So we've got to learn to get rid of, empty our lives of the things that are just holding us back from living the Christian life. We ought to start living a life where we are light in regard to the things of this world and we are full on for God. And even in the Lord's Prayer, it's there too. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Highest priority. And the problem with all these encumbrances and weights we have, it's stopping us from living that out. We're living for my kingdom rather than the kingdom. And we've got to get rid of these weights. But there are also things that are not too good that we've got to get rid of too that weigh us down. I'm going to mention just only a few of these things. I reckon there are many Christians who are weighed down because of the past. They have hurts, they have traumas that they cannot let go of, and it's just weighing you down and eating you up, making you very heavy for the race before you. You've got to learn to get rid of it. You've got to learn to forgive, let go of the past. My favourite passage on this is Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul, who had a horrible past, in regard to how he persecuted Christians and did all sorts of horrible things in the name of God. He says, can you imagine the hangouts Paul could have had? He says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If the Apostle Paul could say that with all his messed up life, surely we can as well. There is deliverance in Christ, and we need to set ourselves free from the things that hold us back. And we also need to set ourselves free from other things too. There are vices that we might be addicted to. There are behavioural patterns that we fall into every time. There are negative thought patterns that we can battle with. We've got to learn to free ourselves from all these things so that we can be light and run the race really well. I wanted to say amen to all that. May God help us with that. But you know, there's another one that I haven't mentioned yet. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Have you ever thought about sin itself? Sin is like a spider's web. Sin, you muck around with sin and it entangles you, and not very long after that there's going to be a spider that comes and gets you. You're like an insect caught in the web. You can't muck around with sin. But let me say to you that even though we all still sin, there are for every one of us certain sins, maybe even one sin, that we really struggle with. We are sinners, and we have this tendency to have some sin in our life that really trips us up. You know which one it is. If you think about it right now, just have a little moment. It's the one that you battle with. It's the one that you feel like giving up on. It's the one that you could even say you're addicted to. You fight against it, you fight against it, and you can never get free. Well, the Bible tells us you need to eradicate it out of your life. You need to be ruthless about it, otherwise you're not going to be able to run the race. You need to. And I want to just share a few great verses that have helped me. The three things that you need to do is to pray against any sin that has taken you down. There's two Psalms that tell us this. Psalm 19, verse 13. If you want to write these down, you ought to, and then you can read it yourself. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. The psalmist knew what they're like. These sins entangle us and bring us down. Another one, Psalm 119, verse 133. That's right, Psalm 119 is a very long psalm. Psalm 119 and verse 133. It says, establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. That's what the Hebrew writer is picking up on. Cut yourself off from these things. Eradicate them from your life. So the first thing you have to do is to pray. Pray and even fast. But the next thing that we are to do is that we are to slay these sins by the Spirit. And my next favourite verse on this is Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans chapter 8 is full of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What's the key phrase there? By the Spirit. We need God's Holy Spirit to not only identify our sinful behaviours, but also to put to death those things that keep tripping us up. And the third thing that's really hit me recently, even though I've known this truth for a long time, is the actual importance of faith. Faith is so essential in putting down those sins that we struggle with. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I've just been hit with this recently. All the flaming arrows. Not just some of them. It is faith. It is when, in fact you could even say this, I never sin when I have faith. It's when I don't have faith that I sin. And what I mean by faith is faith and a vision about who I am and who I belong to and where I'm heading. Those things just cut sin. But because we don't often think like that, we become prone to sin. So we need to pray. We need to slay things in the Spirit. We need to be using faith to knock out sin so that we're free. God wants His people to be free. Free from the weights that hold you back. Free from sinful habits that entangle you so that you can run the race well for His glory. and honour. We're saved by grace. Praise God for that. But he wants us to run well, that we might receive one day in heaven that wonderful commendation from Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what we're meant to be running for, to hear that. That's better than a gold medal. That's better than winning a gold medal at the Olympics in Japan. It's better than anything to hear the commendation of Jesus because we run the race well. All right, let's now have a look at a few other things. The next thing we're going to look at is endurance. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. So there's the next big thing we have to do. We have to have perseverance or endurance. I remember this quite well because one of our former ministers, Peter Moyle, I remember one time he was preaching and he said to everyone, you know everyone, you need this good fella, Percy. Perseverance. Oh, thinking he was talking about a bloke. Anyway, it was perseverance. The character of perseverance. That's how I remember it. So you need this fella. You need perseverance. You need him in your life so that you might be able to make it to the end. And like in a road cycling race or in a marathon, the key is endurance, so we need it in the Christian life. We need to be able to keep on keeping on through the good times and the bad times. Now, I particularly like the way it's put in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And the first thing I want to say to you or about this is that we have a race marked out for us. I want to even go further and say we all have a race marked out for us as an individual. There are common things about our race, but we have also a race marked out for us just for you. God has foreseen everything in your path and has tailor-made this race for you. Now, if you start thinking about this, this should excite you. That means my Father in heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, has given me a race to run that he has tailor-made. He knows what I can handle and what I can't handle, and he set it for you. Doesn't that encourage you? That helps you persevere. Doesn't it? It's not like you're just open to whatever can happen. Praise God that he in his love has set this course for you. The other thing I know from the Word of God is that in everything that I go through, I have the blessing of God helping me. And all the way along, talk about grace. What did Paul say? My grace is sufficient for you, for your power is made perfect in my weakness. And God will give you everything you need to run this race. I reckon that also makes you want to endure. That encourages you to endure. You know, back to the Heidi when she was running, cycling in the road race. Her eldest sister, wrote a letter to her that she had to open when she was over in Queensland. And she read it, and she was so touched by it, and there was a verse that Amy quoted, and she wrote it on her thigh as she did that road race. The verse, many of you will know it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She put it on her thigh because in cycling, as you know, your legs are going up and down, so she could see it. And this really helped her to endure. What a great verse! Do we believe it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what, no matter if I have little or whether I have a lot. That's the context of Philippians chapter 4. We can endure because God and Jesus will help us. And there's something else I've got to throw in. I was just thinking about this morning, I don't know. I have all sorts of thoughts that come into my head. I just thought the other thing that should make us want to endure is this. Even though it's up and down and there's some really difficult times that we go through, at the end of the day, this course that has been marked out for us is such a good course. And I think of Jeremiah chapter 6. Love Jeremiah. In chapter 6 verse 16, it says these words. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient path where the good way is. and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, I know there's big hurdles and all sorts of horrible things we might have to go through, but in the midst of it all, you find peace and joy in God. You find rest for your soul because you're not alone. And these things are meant to help us endure. And besides that, we ought to be enduring because where are we going? Where's the finish line? It's glory. Whether we are caught up to heaven or whether Jesus returns, there's the finish line before us, the best finish line out. All these things are there that we might endure. So there you go. Let's endure. Everything is before us. Okay, out of Jeremiah, back into Hebrews. Now we come to the most important thing of all. It's verse 2. 2 and 3. It says there, let us, here's the next big let us fix our eyes on Jesus. There it is. That's as big, that's so big. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, I love this. Consider him who has endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. These two verses telling us such a critical thing. You must fix your eyes on Jesus. Do you get that? Do you get how important that is? Let me say it again. You've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. That doesn't mean you just glance at him from time to time. Like on a Sunday morning, you glance at him, and then during the week, you look at everything else. No, you're to be gazing upon him. You're to be fixing your eyes on him. Today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your days, you're meant to be looking to him. You're meant to be gazing upon him. There's three things I want to say about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. The first thing I want you to have in your mind is this. Jesus is at the finish line. You need to be looking at the one who will warmly welcome you into the kingdom. You should have a vision about this. You should have a picture in your head about what it looks like. This is going to help you endure and run the race. You understand the importance of that. If you don't have a vision, I don't mean it's some crazy vision, a vision built on what the Bible says, it's going to help you run. Jesus is at the finish line, is he not? Does it not teach us in the Word of God that he will welcome you into the kingdom? Is it not true that when he even returns, if we're still on earth, he will receive us to himself? Is this not true? Then we need to have this vision built into our life, that we understand what the finish line is, and we understand who's there to greet us, and who has given us his Spirit to walk alongside us while we get there. Wow, we're so blessed. The next thing I want to highlight from Hebrews chapter 12 is that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the author of our faith. The author. And this should make us want to fix our eyes on him. He's the one who has paved the way for us to know God. There was no way to God for us Gentiles. There was no way. We were lost. You mentioned that verse, brother, about without hope and without God in this world. We were on the highway to hell. But Jesus has authored another path for us, the narrow path of life. And we ought to have our eyes on him because what he did to do that, how he shed his blood and sacrificed himself and bore our sin and bore the wrath of God, and how he was raised from the dead. We're meant to be fixing our eyes on him who has pioneered, who has authored this amazing way to God so that we can know God and be with him forever and ever. Surely our eyes should be on him because of that. Surely it's such a good thing for us to break bread every Sunday morning to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. Fix your eyes on him. But the other thing that we had to fix our eyes on is in the next part of the verse, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That is to say, he is the example of faith. I'm so glad that God gave him three and a half years of ministry while he walked this earth, and he showed us how to live. Think about what we have considered thus far. Have a look at how Jesus travelled lightly. He got rid of every hindrance, every obstacle in his life that he might do the will of God. Look at how he got rid of sin in his life. He had no sin, but he kept knocking sin out. It says that he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He's showing us how to do it. Keeping close to the Father, praying, living for God. And then look at the endurance. Look at the way he just endured. He endured that cross. He persevered. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us how he was able to endure. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What enabled him to endure? What enabled him to endure were two things. The fact that he knew after he died for us and shed his blood, he knew that the Father would catch him as he fell into the oblivion of death, and that he would be resurrected and one day sit at the right hand of the Father. That kept him going, didn't it? That kept him going. But there was another thing that kept him going, and an emotion. And that emotion was joy. He had the joy of knowing one day, very soon, he would be with the Father in glory by his Father's loving side, and the joy of knowing that he had accomplished a great salvation for us to join him to one day. It was the joy of these things that kept Jesus enduring. And I don't have time to explain to you today, but just think about what he had to endure. Can you imagine you being on the cross and you're the Son of God and you are being scoffed and mocked and ridiculed? You have been beaten, you have been nailed to the cross, the Creator, and this is what they're doing to you. He endured it all. He endured the wrath of God, separation from the Father, because of the joy set before him. Friends, he sets the example for us. We need to have something to look forward to. What joy fills your heart? What joy keeps you going? Is it the joy of being with the Lord? You need some joy to keep you going. Jesus sets the example. Do you know with assurance where you'll be one day? It says before the Father's throne you'll be. Do you have that set as your goal? It's these things Jesus teaches us that help us to endure whatever we might have to endure. Friends, it says if we would do these things, it says in verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the way to be able to make it to the end of the race. This is the way to not grow weary and lose heart. There are three big let us's. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Amen. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Thank you for how we can talk to you and come before your awesome throne, the throne of grace. Lord, we are such sinners, saved by grace, but we so often struggle. I ask for everyone here, first of all, that you would help us to be on that race, that we would be saved, that we'd be people born of your Spirit. And then, Lord, you would help us to run that race well. We're really sorry for the times we've run really badly, where we've just sat down and just given up and done nothing, even gone backwards. We ask, Lord, that you would motivate us by your Spirit to run that race well. And we have a part to play. Lord, help us to be encouraged as we read your word, encouraged by your Spirit, encouraged by each other. Help us, Lord, to eradicate from our life the things that really weigh us down. In our society, there is so much now. Lord, sorry for the things that we have put priority to which do not have anything to do with your kingdom. And we ask that you would help us to endure the race set before us. Thank you that you have looked down the corridors of time and have given to each one that race set for us. Help us to run it well. Help us to be thinking where we're going. And Lord, above everything, we can't help but say thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much for this one who awaits our entrance into heaven. Thank you for how he has done everything to make that possible, and his Spirit helps us. Thank you, Father, for the one who has authored this wonderful path to you and who has also shown us how to live it. We thank you for him. Help our eyes be upon him. Lord, in this world where eyes are on everything, help it to be upon Jesus. Please help me. Please help all of us to do that well. Help us, Lord, to look forward to the day when we shall be in your glorious presence. May this be the goal of our life, and to bring as many as we can with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.